I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Longer term, it's about ISIL's vision. This is an organization that has an apocalyptic end of days strategic vision.
That goes back to our double standard of just assuming that the woman or the mother is the only necessary gender in a child's life, as though men are not contributing anything more than his sperm and his wallet.
These pathologies are shallow music, shallow worship that, because it has a manipulative emotional element, is mistakenly perceived as a rich encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
We have heresies that rose in the early church, and then some of them just kind of fizzle out. They don't have any staying power, any legs, so to speak. Occasionally you'll find someone who rediscovers it, thinks they've thought of something new. It just turns out to be one of those ancient heresies. Then there are the kind of heresies that may even predate Christianity, attach themselves to Christianity, and then stick with it tenaciously. Maybe they're closer to, I don't know, our own natural misconceptions about God and everything related to him. Gnosticism is one of those. It's been around before Christianity, and it's stuck to Christianity like glue. Why is that? We're going to talk about Gnosticism here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Welcome back. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, we'll turn the subject to Buddhism. Dr. Paul Philp will be our guest to talk about that. Is it a religion? It's hard to tell whether it's a religion or not. We'll try and sort out that question with him. Then the Solas of the Reformation with Pastor Matthew Worm. We're going to talk about the Solas of the Reformation as a firm foundation for understanding and studying Scripture. And then we've got a little time left at the end. We're going to go through some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. Joining us to talk about Gnosticism, an ancient and modern day heresy, Pastor Doug Peters, pastor of Luther Memorial Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Gnostic. Pastor Peters, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's a great joy to be with you.
This is an ancient heresy. In fact, it even predates Christianity, but it's also a modern day heresy. Where would we find Gnosticism today?
Well, it's interesting that you might think that you might look at certain churches or heresies or different types of heretical bodies, but ultimately, Todd, we just need to look inside ourselves, and that's where you'll find Gnosticism.
What do we see there that is that partakes of this Gnosticism? How would you describe it?
Well, I think we have to remember who we are. And that is being sinful man who is always in denial of God's word. That if we are to look within and see that denial of God's word, that's the root of all Gnosticism.
So explain that, if you would. What's the relationship between, or what is Gnosticism in relationship to God's word?
Well, it is a denial of God being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a denial of God being the creator of all things and that those things are good. It's a denial of God's word being truth, essentially.
So could you say in its barest form, it is seeking some kind of knowledge of God apart from Holy Scripture within oneself? Is that a good working definition of Gnosticism? How would you modify that definition?
Absolutely, Todd. I think you nailed it right there. It is seeking that truth that will unlock the knowledge of what God truly meant, because obviously, from the Gnostic's perspective, what he revealed wasn't good enough. It wasn't truth. It wasn't accurate. And it does not lead, from their perspective, to what God intended for us, which is obviously heresy.
Talk about its history, its ancient roots.
Well, it predates Christianity, as you had mentioned, and we have, obviously, many... It shows itself specifically in the 2nd and 3rd century, taking root with those of Valentinus, as well as, obviously, the Marcions, as well as, I think there's close to 40 or 50 other derivatives that were rampant and especially prevalent in the 2nd and 3rd century, of which, obviously, Irenaeus had to contend with as one of the fathers, leading to his work that sought to fight to get that heresy out of the church, that we might cling to the truth of God's word, that yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is God and man, born of the Virgin, died on the cross, resurrected from the dead in the body.
I remember studying this back in college, I believe. I don't know why I chose Gnosticism, but we got to choose our own kind of ancient heresy to write about. And I got way in over my head before I knew what was going on. I mean, it has a worldview where God is wholly transcendent. He's not even approachable or even knowable. He can only be known by these emanations. It has this idea that man possesses in himself some tiny spark of divinity through which he can access God. It really quickly begins to sound a lot like, sadly, a lot of Christians' conception of God. God's way, way out there, and I access him through this little keyhole in my heart wherein I can kind of peek in at him, see what he's doing. What are your thoughts there,
Pastor Peters? It's really fascinating because, as you said, it really appeals to the old Adam, because we want to know more. There's got to be more. And so, you know, it does drive us to look inward and to try to seek this. And what's amazing is then Jesus then becomes, no longer is he the Savior, as is revealed in Scripture, but he's now the one who reveals to us how to find that knowledge and how we're able to access the divinity that's in each one of us. And so, you know, you can really see the traces of this that, you know, from the beginning, and how it impacts Christianity even today. And we're seeing it, unfortunately, rampant in so many Christian, so-called Christian churches.
How is it that this thing can persist the way it has? I mean, it kind of comes around in a philosophical form before Christianity formally begins. It attaches itself to Christianity, and then it survives into a postmodern age. I mean, things have come and gone, and Gnosticism still persists. How can it be both ancient and a postmodern heresy at the same time?
Well, it really goes back to where we started, and that's the sense that the roots are within each one of us. It's sin, it's unbelief, and therefore it reigns in us continuously. And really, you know, the only recourse, the only way to defend against it is, to be honest, is catechesis, is understanding who this God really is and truly is, and that he's revealed how he has revealed himself, not that we might know him, by our own feelings and emotions, but how he has chosen to reveal himself in the Word. That's what I think continues to prove is proven here, is that we see the lack of catechesis and what that impact is, and that leads us into Gnosticism.
Have we, by failing to properly catechize, that is, instruct people in the external Word of God, have we, Pastor Peters, implicitly told people, well, you're going to have to find out about God on your own. Look inside rather than outside oneself.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly... I think what we're... And again, it goes back to who we are, but it's that reality that we're not trusting in how God has revealed himself to us, that we somehow or another need to have some type of a experiential, if you want to say, clarification or experiential... just a claimer that claims that this is true to me personally versus how God has specifically clearly stated it in his word, that we're all to cling to this truth, not dependent upon myself, that it's not based upon my feelings and my emotions, but it's by God's inerrant truth that is objective and not subjective to my own personal feelings and emotions.
So is there a presupposition there? I mean, we could call it kind of the way we naturally think about God, that the knowledge I find in me is more certain than the knowledge I would find outside me?
Yeah, and I think that's, especially in this postmodern era that we're in now, I mean, that's my truth is defined, not objectively. It's completely subjective, and it's what's good for you, Todd, is not necessarily right for me. But that's okay. Your truth is how you feel, and that's how it's derived. Your confession then is based upon what you feel, and if that's the case, boy, it gets real subjective and really gets mucky. That's for sure.
You mentioned that even in Christian circles, the Jesus of Gnosticism simply is there to facilitate you kind of discovering your inner power or divinity or some sort of knowledge there. Why is that Jesus the wrong Jesus?
Well, as our Lord has revealed himself, that he died on a cross for the sins of mankind. Knowledge isn't what bestows upon us the forgiveness of our sins. Not knowing that it's not knowing of Christ or knowing of his of his knowledge, but it actually was a man, a God-man, to die on the cross that we might have the forgiveness of sins applied to us. That's why it's the wrong Jesus.
Two final questions for you, Pastor Peters. How would someone... there are a lot of church shoppers out there, and Lord knows there's a lot of churches out there to be shopped. How would someone know, walking into a ostensibly Christian congregation, whether or not they have accidentally stumbled into something more Gnostic than Christian? How would they know that?
Well, I think probably one of the big tip-offs would be if they're omitting the creeds, if you're not hearing that Christ... was born of the Virgin Mary, that he is very God of very God, and true man. These things are the essence of our confession. And if those are absent in the service in which God comes to us and delivers his gifts, then you might want to take a second look at where you are.
And finally, then, how do we, you and I, our listeners, how do we avoid falling into the trap that our sinful flesh has set for us, right in our own hearts, of Gnosticism?
Well, I think, Todd, it does come back to the ongoing lifelong catechesis, the lifelong receiving of the true body and blood of Christ in his supper for us. It's in our confessing of the creed over and over again, week in and week out, that continues to drown that old Adam within us as we confess. Yes, we doubt. Yes, we have our moments of unbelief, but that ultimately we turn to our Father in heaven, who gives us all that we need to not only believe but to confess, and then he encourages and feeds that with the sacrament that we receive and his word that objectively gives us the forgiveness of our sins, life, and salvation.
Pastor Doug Peters is pastor of Luther Memorial Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and he's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Gnostic. Doug, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, it's a great joy. Thanks again.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, we're going to talk about Buddhism. Dr. Paul Philp will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Hymnody is important, very important. It's an invaluable tool that helps teach and confess the faith. Singing hymns is something we all do together on a weekly basis, yet some congregations find it difficult to sing confidently without the support of an instrument. If you are one of these congregations that can't find an organist, Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows your hymns and liturgy to be played on your instrument to help inspire and support your congregation's song. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.